ask the guys if they just put a photo up quickly. Oh. So behind those glasses are the most incredibly beautiful green eyes. Almond shape. They were the second thing I noticed about Leanne when I met her. Her first thing was her personality, of course. She was like 8 in junior school, and she ran home. All the girls at school were saying, "Leanne, you got the most beautiful eyes." She went to her mom. She said, "Mom, do you think I got pretty eyes?" And her mom turned around and said, "Oh, shut up. Stop talking nonsense." Leanne, till this day, still can't look in the mirror. She finds it hard to look in the mirror. And I'm going, "You're kidding me. You should look in the mirror. You're amazing." That's how easy it is to have your sense of worth damaged. One dumb word. And we don't take it like seriously enough, but it is a reality. Nick and James' family, however, we love flipping looking in the mirror. Can't walk past the mirror without going. "I see you, baby." You know? Don't know what it is, eh? And it's like an irresistible desire to look at myself. I don't know why. I can't believe I'm so short. I've seen my ears are in the wrong place, all sorts of stuff, you know, but I still keep looking. And so it became a real problem when Matt was born. And we heard this noise in the bathroom. And he's like a little 3-year-old. In the bath that he is in, there was a mirror in front of the bath, behind him. And we heard this like kissing noise. We knew he couldn't make out with anybody. He wasn't old enough. Walk in. He's kissing himself in the mirror. You know? And I thought, wow, what a contrast. A little guy growing up in a home where a lot of these issues now have been working. We've been working as a couple. We're raising up our kids to love themselves. And there's little Matt, just completely in love with himself. And I think that is better. You know, it's better. Love your neighbor as yourself. Take a risk. Love yourself. Thank you. Okay, so this is maybe one of the most profound things I've ever learned in my life. I learned it many years ago. It's changed my life. It's part of my DNA. It's part of our church culture. It's part of everything we do. It's possible for us to experience a different way in which we relate to people. We don't just happen. We don't just behave the way we do. A lot happens between the things that are going in our head and the behavior. And there's a whole lot of stuff happening right up till this very time in our lives. And everything that happens in our life, the way it works out, happens in a split second. That's why there's always so much regret. "Oh, I wish I never did that." Just like quick, driving down the road, you loving Jesus, worshiping, one eye open, one eye closed, but the wrong eyes open. You can check the taxi oak next to you. And then all of a sudden, the window comes down and you like, use words you're trying to get rid of. You do get rid of them. Wind that window up. "Sorry, Lord." You know? There's so much going on, like we're a mess, aren't we? But I am convinced we can do better. And I don't think it's like a magical mist that comes down and on us, and then we just wake up in the morning and go, bolt up in bed and go, "Ah, I feel better." I don't believe that. I believe it's choice. It's working on stuff. It's like being prepared to be honest, all this stuff till this point. Creating an adult awareness or approach or attitude in our relationship, it doesn't mean being grown up makes you an adult. A lot of grown up people, but they don't behave like adults. You know what I mean? Now, I'm not downing those who don't behave like grown-ups. I'm not saying that. It's a reality. And some of the giveaway signs that we're not being adult, and I'm going to explain what adult means, is that we're fearful, we're over-opinionated, we're super critical, very cynical at times, hyper-manipulative at times, controlling. I know none of you are here because you come from 3CR. We have poor relational abilities. We feel unstable in our lives. And we wonder, have you often felt like, just to be honest with yourself, and I felt like this often in my life, it's like, why is it just not feeling like a, why is it just not working, this relationship? Why? And you've got to look at myself first. Much easier to look at, there's something wrong with that. You know, definitely something wrong with Leanne. But we got to go there. What is it? Why is it that this relating thing becomes such a problematic thing in people? And there are some practical things we can do. But it does start with what goes on in our heads. I'm going to draw a diagram so you can draw a diagram in the diagram space. And the truth is this. What goes on in our minds is eventually seen and experienced by other people. What's happening here is seen. The proverb writer said it. As a man thinketh, a person thinketh, so they are. And the other truth is, we are all the time, past, present, and future. It's our reality. Every one of us has a past, good, bad, or ugly. That's our reality. And every one of us live in our now reality, our present. The tussle for us is, I want to live idealistically, but our reality is, how do we live in the tension? And then we know there's a future. So the danger is that, like, we go, forget about everything, I'm just going to go there. But our truth is, we are all three at the same time, which makes it amazing. But here's the thing, our past affects our present. And if it affects our present, it's definitely going to affect our future. So here's the other, turn this around. Our behavior is a telltale sign of what's going on in our head. So I'm going to draw a little diagram. I'm going to give you a basic thing on how the brain works. If you're a psychologist, please give me some grace. If you're an artist, even more grace. Okay. So in your diagram, I need you to draw a little square like that. Next to it, I need you to draw a smaller square, and I need you to divide it into four. And talk about the conscious and the subconscious mind. The big square, this Oki, that guy, that's your subconscious. So you're right above it. Ooh, did the big white thing happen there? No. Okay. Right there, sub. Where the little square looks like a potential Christmas present. Right, conscious mind. This is your mind. Okay? That doesn't mean wind. That means mind. That's true, hey? But imagine if this was my scalpel and you were my... You would be in trouble, buddy. Over here, what I want you to do in your conscious mind, I want you to draw an arrow towards that box. And that is us, our perceivers. We are receiving right now. Right now, you're all receiving something. You're seeing something. Your senses. We have five ways in which we perceive stuff. Touch, sight, smell, sound, and... Say it again. Taste. Looks like torch in my book. Okay, you're with me, hey? Thank you for being kind. Then you put a P, that's our perceiver. When we become aware of what's going around. Right now, you're all seeing something. You're becoming aware of something. Every one of us are doing it differently. And this is all happening in split seconds. Over here, you need to put a little R, and that means interpret, interpretation. And right now, your brain is going, what does this mean? Then it bounces over into your subconscious mind right now. A lot of the stuff that we've spoken about, this was happening. When I was talking about self-esteem, this was happening like in seconds. And then goes into your subconscious mind, and in your subconscious mind is a collection of stuff. The psychologists say this, 90% of everything that we've paid attention to from the day we were born is perfectly recorded in our subconscious mind. Perfectly. I'll give you an example. Do you remember junior school? If you're older than 40, do you remember junior school? And there was a thing in those days called plasticine. It had a particular smell about it. I went back to that school that I was in as a junior, and I smelt the smell of plasticine, and I remembered Mrs. Ortlip and how much I disliked her. How does that work? In your subconscious mind is a collection, it's a memory bank. In modern day language, inboard computer. Unbelievably powerful. Recording everything. And inside it is your, I'm not going to write the words because it would be an absolute catastrophe on my picture, are your values that you've learned, all your experiences and events that have impacted you. They're like you paid attention to them. Your self-concept, self-esteem, self-image, your belief system, your trauma, your pain, your hurts, however it happened. And there's a massive collection of that stuff in your brain. Goes through your perceiver, interprets. There's a little E over here. That's called, and then it evaluates. Goes through your subconscious, comes out into this little conscious mind, evaluates and asks, it examines the information that it's picked up in your subconscious mind, and it attaches value to it. And your brain is deciding, should I reject or should I accept what's going to happen? In split seconds. And then it goes to here, and this is a V, volition. And there's a choice that is made. You start making a decision. You start asking this question, should I do something about this? For every single decision we make, we go through that process. Isn't that amazing? Now, just go back to what I spoke about earlier. Everything you think about yourself is in your subconscious mind. Everything you're experiencing around you goes through your brain, picks up information, and we respond because what's in our brain. I wonder why God said, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I wonder why. I wonder why salvation is actually about the conversion of our choices in our brain. We choose. I wonder why it's that. Because God knows that we need to update our information. It's so hard, guys. This is such a hard thing. And it plays out. Is that all right? Does that sound? And this happens quicker than I can do that. Quicker than I can do that. Somebody says something to you, and you make a decision instantly, and you respond to that. A little girl, she's 3. She sleeps in her little bedroom down the passage. Her mom and dad sleep. They are aware. Keep the light on in the passage. It's a soft light. Keep the door ajar so the kid feels safe. And keep a little lamp on in the bedroom because it's a little girl. She's learning to sleep on her own. And she, little girl, it's a noisy, windy sort of night in Pretoria. And there's thunder. You've got a lack of thunder here. And she wakes up just from a fright. What does she do? She grabs a teddy bear, grabs a pillow, walks down. Where? Towards the light. Why? Because she knows that's safe. That's where she's going. She walks to the door. She's perfect, man. Nothing wrong with this child. And she, as she gets closer, her little brain, she's starting to hear something. And she hears like a mom saying something, a dad saying something. And then she peeps through the window and she sees an angry face of her mom and an angry face of her dad and the shouting. And she turns around, she runs back to her bedroom, jumps into her bed, pulls the quilt over her head, tucks teddy bear and goes to sleep. 20 years later, she's married. Joy of her life. Mr. Studley Bo Dudley. Incredible oak man. He's ripped. His ears are in the right place. It's a good deal, eh? He's a bit taller than me. And everything is going hunky-dory after 3 months of marriage. And they have a disagreement. She grabs the keys, grabs a bag, gets into a car, and leaves. And the husband's going, what the heck happened here? He has no idea what's going on. She doesn't come home. First night, she doesn't come home. Second night, she doesn't come home. What happened? She heard something. Went through that whole process, went into her subconscious, and her little trauma she had as a three-year-old bumped up. And she saw perfectly the same features in her dad's face that she saw in her husband's. And she thought it was the same thing. So she did what she did when she was a child. She ran away. The husband has no idea what's going on. See how easy it is to misinterpret what's going on. And I bet you that's never happened to you. Happens all the time. There are three basic attitudes that shape our relationships. They shape us. They shape our, I call them attitudes. And these represent the inner you or the inner self. People see and experience in us what they call the parent. They see the child and they see the adult. There are all these ego states are in all of us. Not one of us have only one. And what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to think about this. And I need you to be like quite careful how you write down your info in your book. Because you're going to be thinking about the person sitting next to you right now. So the parent in us is like the parent we know. It's learned. The parent is learned. They influenced and they learn being a parent in their early childhood. It's what we see. It's what we smell. It's what we hear. It's what we feel. What we experience emotionally and physically, facial features and tone of voice or the atmosphere or whatever. And all of this influences the inner self, the inner parent in us. Inner parent plays out as being nurturing. And nurturing is good. I mean, who doesn't want to be nurtured? Thank goodness parents are nurturing. Well, most parents are nurturing. But also one of the things you know about a parent is they know everything. They know everything about life. They have an opinion about everything. How the rugby should be played. How you should cook. Why you shouldn't wear those shoes. Why you should not be a plumber. They have an opinion about everything. They're like a walking encyclopedia. They're like super educated, especially when you're a kid and you're with a parent like that. You go, oh my gosh, I never have to buy Google. I just go to my mom and my dad because they know everything. But they're like, I'll put them like this. They know alls. They're critical, prejudicial. They put you in pigeonholes. We all have a parent in us. Do you know anyone? Do you know anyone like that? Don't nudge the person next to you. The good news is there's also a child in us. Yeah, you're giving it away, buddy. No one even needed a nudgy. And a child is all feeling, as you know. All experience. You know that, eh? Children have heightened senses and hyper emotions. And like a child, the child in us is curious and playful and affectionate and fun and imaginative, but they're also fearful. They run to the bedroom because they're scared. And we all know this about children. They're like, they think they are the center of the universe. I am amazed that it requires two sets of grandparents and two parents to take control of three-year-old Caleb. And he still wins. You know what I mean? He like pulls everybody into his universe. But the thing about children, they're also like super demanding. They learn the word mom very quickly. Mom, mom, mom. Never go to dad. There's a shh. Go to mom. Dads learn, go to mom. But kids are spontaneous. But children are also like little know-alls. You know that. You notice they're little kids. Someone's wrote this once. Hire a teenager while they know everything. You know? It's funny, eh? I was a teenager once. I knew everything. Little children are intuitive, they're creative, they don't need a color in the lines. They can do what they like, they're children. It's frustrating when you're a parent, your little got slightly OCD, and you're teaching your 2-year-old to draw, and you go, okay, draw like this, and they go, la, 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 la. And you go, you're drawing like your mother. Children don't care. What's a line? A line is to be crossed. That's what children do. But they're also little scheming manipulators, aren't they? They know how to work the system, boy. And here's the thing about manipulation. And listen to this. If the manipulation is successful, they think they're like gods because they've now just controlled the world around them. Because, you know, if you can't control what's going on inside of you, you try and control what's going around you. And if manipulation succeeds when you're a child and continues to succeed, it succeeds right into your adult life. You become a champion. Get what you want in the nicest way possible. The other thing about children is they can be super stubborn, strong-willed. What's that dude who wrote lots of children's books? American dude. James Dobson. He said this. Break the will, not the spirit. I think that is an amazing thought that. Your children are strong-willed, eh? They're compliant. They're defiant. You know, when a little three-year-old stands up against you and you're pointing them at them and they're pointing up at you, it's quite a terrifying thought. You take a step back. Is this guy going to attack me? They stand the ground. Have you seen a teenager stand the ground? You go, oh my gosh. Hey? Compliant. Sit down. No. Sit down. No. If you don't sit down, so they sit down. And they say this. But on the inside, I'm standing up. We've lost. They procrastinate. Switch the light off. I'm on my way. 4 days later, they're still on the way to switch the light off. Am I right? Or they play the silent game. So that's the most terrible thing. Those of you who got teenagers, slightly older, when they play the silent game, oh, it's so awkward. They walk in. Because they want something, or you've drawn a line, they walk in, they look at you. Go to the fridge, they look at you. Take out your favorite beer. And they're only 12. Close the fridge. And they look at you. Don't say a word for days. It's terrible. Does anyone know a grown-up who has a parent in them and a child in them? We've all got it. Somehow one is more dominant than the other. It just is what it is. It's basically called the unsurrendered ego. We just want to play it out. And no one has told us there's a better way to do it. But in us is also an adult. Now, I'm not a gym guy, as you can see. Thank you, Mitch. Jeez. Friends for life, bro. The beautiful thing about an adult, the sad thing about the adult, is so many people are unaware that we have the adult in us. Because the child and the parent in us are so busy at war with each other. And at war with the child and parent and the other person next to us. And we wonder why there's so much going on in our relationship. We've got values. We do have common value. We've got all this sort of stuff, but there's just like relational disconnect. Because this stuff's playing out. And we think it's okay. It's normal. And it is normal. But it's abnormal. Because there's this like silent adult. And the adult is reasoned. It's unlike a parent and it's unlike the child in us. It's reasoned. The adult is objective. Always objective. It's like dispassionately objective. It's not subjective like children. It's objective. The adult has the ability to step back and to look at it objectively. It's not overwhelmed by the closeness of the scenario. The adult is always realistic, has the ability to update current, update everything to the current situation you're in. Just update, it's realistic, just can do that. You meaning that's in me, Brett? Absolutely. If the child can be in you and the parent can be in us, the adult can be in us. It's like when you go to gym, Mitch. When you go to gym, because you're looking really buff, Mitch, unlike me, the more you exercise the muscle, the stronger it gets. True story. The more what we've done is we've over-exercised the child and the parent in us. We've muscled out muscled out the adult. So I'm giving you some good news. I'm giving you a whistle tonight. Where you can blow the whistle on the child and the parent in yourself and in the people that are around you, because The adult is always adult, always objective, always realistic, always rational, logical, reasonable. And the adult is always appropriate in what they do and what they say. Wow. It's like being filled with the Spirit. You can go and read Galatians and you go, oh, wow, that's adult. So the psychologists worked this out, but they stole the idea from God. I can almost guarantee you, if you exercise the adult in you, your life and your marriage will change. Guaranteed. But you got to exercise it. Because the more you exercise it, the more you'll muscle out the other two. Doesn't mean they won't appear. It doesn't mean all that stuff is bad. But what you want is the best version of those to be the best adult you can be. You're constantly aware. So how does this work? It's just like a discipline of thought. It's a choice. I choose to be adult. You know, if pastors, I don't know how many pastors are in the room. If pastors and counselors could learn this, they'd live much longer. Because if you're a parent, you're going to fight with the child. And if you're a parent and the other person's a parent, you're going to be at war with each other. And if they're two children, you're definitely going to have a fight. And the adult just blows the whistle. Hold on. Sorry. I'm being a parent. Own it. I know, look, I am more parent. Or let your partner tell you, yes, you are parent. And go, and then be adult. No, I'm not. That's not being adult. Don't go sulk. I'm not a child. You always say that to me. Put me in boxes. You're just like my dad. Am I right? We play games with each other. Shame on us. We always do it. But we should be living optimally. We should be wanting, I want the best for you. And the best for you is that I'm an adult. Best for you. So what I'm going to do, you know what an adult does? An adult breathes. Parents don't. They clap you stickant. Before you have even done what you think you are going to do. You know? Like you told me the other day. Hey? Yeah. So back to my picture. So you're gonna make a decision to do something. You're gonna make a decision to be a parent, to be an adult, or you're going to make a decision to be a child in how you do life and love and leadership. Well, that really does mean life, love, and leadership. So what you're seeing, your brain has got all this stuff in, and we are reacting to the life around us, and it's going to come out one way or the other. I'm going to suggest you put a whistle in your hand, your referee of righteousness, and you blow the whistle on yourself, and you discipline yourself. I choose to be adult. I choose. It's a choice. I choose, I will always be adult with you. I will always be objective. I will always be rational. I will always be realistic. I choose to have the appropriate behavior. I choose to say the right thing. And if I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to say anything, and I'm not going to do dumb things. I'll rather not. I'm going to wait. Does this make sense? So here's the key for this. You can't just limit this to your marriage or your relationship. You have to choose to do this all the time with everyone. But what if they don't want to do that? That's not your problem. You're choosing to exercise adult. And if they don't want to be adult, don't be like a parent or a child and engage in a war. Step back. Give them time. So some of you have been very badly influenced by your upbringing, by your parents, by your families, by teachers, by leaders, by all sorts of crazy stuff's gone on. And you're going, is there a way out? And you've been responding and you don't like you. You don't like the way in, and it's triggering all sorts of stuff. And you feel like, do I need to take pills? Do I need a psychologist and all that sort of stuff? And maybe you do, and all that stuff's good. But maybe you could exercise the adult in you and take control of your stuff. Don't let it run away. But what happens if those people just don't give up and they my parents, I've got to respect them. Of course you do, but you don't have to play the game. But they're my parents, parents, parent. Parents should be adult. But I'm a CEO, you don't understand. I don't, because I'm not a CEO. But I do know this. The best response you'll ever get from anyone is being adult. Any day of the week. It's giving you time. It's giving you time to step back. It's giving you time to think, I'm going to choose. I'm going to treat this person properly. I'm going to be objective. I'm going to look at them properly. I'm going to make a great choice. I'm going to be realistic. I'm going to update. I'm pointing at something. It's not pointing. Over here, you're going, adult, I'm going to update all my information. I'm not going to be held captive to those thoughts that have made me respond the way I do. Anyone can do this. So when we were parenting, and this is 38 years ago, we had Matthew, and we started going, okay, well, we're going to be adult with him. It didn't matter how he played out. We were not going to be anything out. We were going to exercise being adult. And we taught our kids from earliest stages possible, be adult. And we articulated, I will not be subjective. I will always be objective with you. So I'm going to give you time to think about what's going on. We'll always be realistic. So we're going to update our information to now. And we need you to do the same. Not like, oh, because you always. Forget that. It's now. Come on. Let's deal in the present. And I'm not going to be around. I'm not going to let my emotions rule me. Do you know that emotions are given to us to make us humans? I don't think anything else in creation has emotions. We're meant to be the master of our emotions. Not our emotions, the masters over us. We're meant to put our emotions under our thumbs. It's our right. Why? They're our emotions. But I've prayed that God would help me with my anger, and it's not working. Well, God said, put your anger under your thumb. Didn't he? In different words, but he said, don't let the anger control your life. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. What does that mean? Take control, man. Let your emotions serve you as a human. The better your emotions, the better your love. The worst our emotions, the greater our fear. So we constantly need to exercise adult. Is it easy? No ways. No ways, Jose's. So all you young couples and younger people, you're ahead because you're younger. True story. The old bullets, it's like hard. It's like grooves in our brains. You know, trying to jump lane in our brain is hard, eh? It's like deep tracks. It's a mirage. It's like, I can't change. It's so hard. We start hyperventilating. But here's the deal. We can. We can create new thought pathways in our brains. It's a biological, scientific fact. You just have to choose to. And the moment we choose to, it's being obedient to Scripture. And when we're obedient to Scripture, there is a blessing added to it. Life comes upon the Word of God. True story. When you choose to do that, you become everything you possibly can for your partner. Because it's not about you. But if we don't, it's all about me. So blow the whistle. Go and buy a whistle. They cost like $5 at Crazy Toys or something, wherever. And use it. I did that at one of my seminars. Got everybody a whistle. One of blew his whistle ball right out the thing because he was using it so much. He had to get another whistle. I said, go buy your own. Buy a proper ref one. A water polo whistle. They're the worst ones. And all that did, because you got to play, you can't take this thing too seriously. You know, guys take like marriages very seriously. You know, like the sexy guys we are. Very serious about this. We don't want to do anything that's going to affect our sex life at night. Nothing. We're very serious about this, guys. Ladies, I'm just letting you know. You know this already, but I'm just telling you, okay? We're super serious about this. We want to be super good. But we're rubbish. That's the truth. We got to play. So you can do all this up to page 19. You can do this. You can be super serious about it. I'm going to be a very good person. I'm going to be the best husband in the world. Hilton, I'm going to be the best husband in the world. And spoil everything. Have some fun. Let's be on a learning curve. I love this quote. In all things peripheral, liberty. In all things essential, unity. But in all things, love. That's beautiful. It's the best quote I've ever heard, eh? I stole it. I'll close with a funny story. Talking about serious. I think my wife's watching. Hallelujah. We went to England and we had a conference and we got put in this B&B and it had like silk sheets. Brown. It was like, it was dodgy prayers, I must tell you. Eh? Like I thought, why did they put us in this room anyway? But you know, I'm a smooth, okay? I know about silk, eh? I got so serious. I got a hot chick in my room with me. My wife, by the way. Just to put you at ease. But I'd not tried the silk sheets, eh? Thought I'd just slink onto that bed. And I did, and I just landed right on the other side. I slid right off the bed. And it killed my seriousness. I was so cross with myself. Leanne is the worst person when it comes to this. Well, she screamed with laughter. It just was an for me a nightmare. For her, the best thing she'd ever seen in her life. We can't take ourselves too seriously. We can't. But we could be better. Why not? You guys are doing something very few people are doing. And it is amazing. And I want to cheer you on. Well done. You're ahead of the game. And if some of this stuff's like hectic or challenging and all that, just give yourself some space. Don't get too hectic. Do your homework. I say homework, but just do it. Take time. Do it again and again. Talk to each other. This is just opening up opportunities for conversations for you. And there are lots of people around you who just want to help you do this. You placed your hands on each other's. Remember early? Can you do it again? You want to do that? You can hold them however you want. How's that? May the grace of God hold you. May the peace of God guard your thoughts and your heart. May the joy of God well up within you and strengthen you. May the God we call Jesus come alive among you.